the reality, the practicality of journeying and growing in God. It's been really good that these times have been sharing people's experiences, because I think we can learn so much from one another. My theme this morning is time alone with God, solitude. I chose the reading from Psalm 46 because of that verse at the end, "Be still and know that I am God." Or as other translations have it, "Cease striving." Take time out. Stop a minute. That's my interpretation. Before we set sail, I think it's important to acknowledge a few things. We really have to find a way of seeking God for ourselves. We can learn from one another, but we can't really do it for each other. And I've found that getting time away, retreat, solitude, is really helpful. But it might not be for you. It isn't one size fits all. So if it's not for you, that's fine. And the other thing I'd like to say is I'm really not an expert. I'm finding my way, but I can tell you what lessons I've learned and where I've gone wrong. Can I have the next slide, please? Thank you. I really appreciated John's sermon a few weeks ago when he emphasized that it isn't what we do or how much we pray or how much we read the Bible that brings us closer to God. It's that understanding that God loves us and that being loved by God is not anything to do with how much effort we put in. His love just flows to us from his heart. And my own experience has been one where knowledge about God came first. I'm grateful that Dad's here this morning, but, you know, my brother and myself, we grew up through Sunday school and through church, and we had a lot of knowledge about God. But the understanding of his love and of his presence has come later. Next slide, please. I wonder what you think of when you think about retreat or solitude. Is this what you think of, I wonder? Abbot Christopher Jameson of Worth Abbey, in his book Finding Sanctuary, says that finding the sacred space, the place of sanctuary, is the journey of a lifetime, not something that you can achieve in one attempt. I like the word solitude, because I think it speaks of time alone. It doesn't speak to me of loneliness. Solitude can be a choice. Being lonely isn't always a choice. It can be thrust upon us. So what does sanctuary mean? Next slide, please. This is more like solitude for me, sanctuary. The root of the word is holy place, sacred space, a place where someone on the run can escape to. A holiday might fulfill that need to escape, that need to get away, but it probably won't fulfill the need for sacred space unless you organise it that way. I'm sure you can all relate to phrases like, "Stop the world, I want to get off," or "I need a bit of space," or "Why doesn't everyone go away and leave me alone?" Or as someone said to me the other day, "Why do people keep pecking at my head?" I know that feeling. They're all cries in one way or another for sanctuary. We read in the Gospels that Jesus also had the need to retreat and get out of the crowds for a while. Verses like Luke chapter 5 verse 16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Or John 6 verse 15, where Jesus withdrew again into the hills by himself. And I imagine it was as much about needing a break and getting away and needing time apart as it was about seeking God and being refreshed for the ministry that he had. I know that feeling well. My job at Burswood is mostly about people. And I love people. I love being with people. But sometimes I just need to get away and I need to have permission to be antisocial, not to have to talk. To be honest, the seeking of retreat and finding solitude for me is as much about rest and relaxation for the body and the mind as it is about spiritual seeking. At Burswood, we talk a lot about whole person care, the balance of body, mind and spirit, recognising that if one of those aspects is out of sorts or out of balance, then the others are going to be impacted by that. And you will know that for yourselves, because if you have been or are going through emotionally traumatic times, you're probably weary and tired, lacking energy, probably feeling that you can't pray. That's normal. The mind is impacting the spirit and the body. Equally, if we're physically unwell, our mind and spirit can feel numb. Retreat, then, is about time and opportunity to rebalance body, mind and spirit. And when there's good balance, I find that I've got the headspace and the opportunity to slow down and in that stillness to seek the presence of God. Next slide, please. Thank you. So how do we find that place of solitude and silence? Lives that are busier for most of us than I think they have been before. The Africans have a saying, maybe you know the saying, you have the watches, but we have the time. And I think that speaks a lot of how busy we've become, how much we pack into our lives. I went to London a couple of weeks ago for a couple of study days, and you know, I was shocked at how much an extension of the workplace the train has become. The early morning train, I was on the 7 o'clock train, and so many people were working. Maybe some of them were playing games on their iPads, I don't know. But actually, I was in the minority because I was sitting there with a book on my lap, but actually I was looking out the window. Before I discovered the benefit of seeking retreat, I did the familiar things. We've all done them. I still do them. Read books, listen to tapes, listen to CDs, go to Spring Harvest or New Wine, places like that. All great. But hear the language. It's all about effort. Because, you see, I hadn't learned that it's not about effort. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with reading and listening and doing all those things, but it may not always take us to the place we want to be, the presence of God. Next slide, please. Thank you. This is a favourite place. It's become a favourite place. This is St Cuthman's, a retreat place that I like to go to. And I find that going there, whether it be for a day, a weekend, a week, I can find some space. Now, you might think, why do you need to go away when you live on your own? Well, that's because if I'm at home, I'm distracted by all the things there that I ought to be doing or should be doing. You know, important things like catching up with Strictly and Bake Off and things like that. But if I'm away, they're out of reach. I can't do it. And you might also be thinking, well, that's all very well for you, but I've got family, kids, animals, all sorts of other things, that means that I can't get away very easily. And that's fine too, because finding the place of solitude isn't necessarily the same as going away. What defines that place of sanctuary is that you make it intentional. You decide you're going to set some time apart. Whether it's walking the dog, in the bath, walking somewhere, going and sitting in the park for an hour, whatever works for you. It doesn't matter where you are. It's the fact that you've made that decision that it's intentional time. Did any of you see the series The Monastery? One or two hands go up. It was a series on television a few years back about five very ordinary men who lived a monastic life for 40 days and 40 nights at Worth Abbey. And they reflected their experiences and struggles to the camera. One of their main struggles was to give up their iPods, their phones, their laptops, and to allow themselves to experience the quiet, the silence. The series resulted in transformed men, some more than others, but they all recognised eventually that they had benefited from that time apart. I realise that solitude or seeking silence might not be something that's comfortable for you. I think I'm by nature an introvert, so it's perhaps a bit easier. If you're an extrovert and you find you're re-energising, your recharging comes from being with other people, finding that place of solitude might not be so attractive. But if you find your recharging, your re-energising comes from quietness, then you might find it more attractive. Next slide, please. Thank you. Silence has become, I think, something that many of us avoid. And to ensure that we don't confront it, we plug our ears with noise, morning, noon and night. Music, television, talking books, conversation. We retreat from the silence in our heads because there may be just that little fear that if I allow some time of silence, what's going to come into my head? What am I going to have to confront? Those thoughts that I keep pushing away. So what do I do? What happens on retreat? Well, the first time I went to a retreat, I went to Morling Abbey, which is a Benedictine monastic community in West Morling. You might know it. And I had no idea what to do or what to expect. So I was a good girl guide. I went prepared. And I took, for a weekend, I took three or four books, a Bible, a notepad, pens, music, talks on CD, a novel or two. And I fell into the trap of doing and taking the noise and the distractions with me. It took me several retreats to realise that the value of retreat, the place of solitude or sanctuary, is not in doing, it's in being. It's not about effort. It's just that time apart. So that place of sanctuary, how do we achieve it? Well, I think that's the wrong question because, again, it's all about effort. I could spend lots of time talking about how to achieve silence, you know, the things about relaxing and concentrating on breathing, all good. But that's not where I'm going to go. I'm just going to talk about some of the ways that you might benefit from the space. And I've done a leaflet which you can take as you go. And one of the things that I've put on the leaflet is a couple of prayers that if you're thinking about having a time of solitude, reading these words can help you to find that stillness. So when I'm on retreat, I usually take just one reflective book because I like to read it slowly, dwell in it, live in that space, allow it to soak in. But I also like to take something like sewing. Now, I guess if you're a guy, you're not going to take the sewing, but that's okay. You know, you might paint, you might draw. And that's because it allows me to have my hands occupied, but my mind can be still. Because I can't achieve that place of quietness if my head is busy. So I have to kind of do other relaxing things. When I go on retreat, I don't spend the whole weekend just sitting in a kind of a holy space. I do relaxing things that I enjoy, as well as taking an hour out maybe to walk or to sit and look at a view. What I really like to do is to sit. It depends on how warm it is, actually, because I like to do it outside. Nothing in my hands, no book, no nothing. And I look at what's around me. I look at the water. I look at the view. And I just find that place of stillness. Benedict, who founded the Order of Benedictine Communities, says of that sacred place, "Listen with the ears of the heart." Well, I'm a nurse, but where are the ears of the heart? Well, I think they are the deepest, innermost part of ourselves. The place where we allow ourselves to be truly in touch with who we are, what we're thinking, what we're feeling. And it allows the presence of God to penetrate. Thoughts come, but I just write them down. And in the stillness, I like to notice what's around me because sometimes God can speak to you through the creation, through the environment. And so I've bought some photos that you might think are very strange, but they are photos that they are things that have caught me when I've been away and that have spoken to me. So can I have the next one, please? Now, when I saw that, that to me was the burning bush. I saw it like the Moses tree, and it reminded me of being on holy ground, but it also reminded me of Moses' call. And it was at a time when I was thinking, should I still be at Burswood? Should I be at Burswood or not? And that made me think about Moses and holy ground, and was a really positive step, actually, in thinking what the way ahead was. The next one, please. This is part of a gate at St. Cuthman's. And when I saw this, it was a time a couple of years ago when I was really feeling pressed in on all sides. And that gate said it. So I took a photo of it because it means that you can go back to it later and reflect. The next one, please. Now, this is a very interesting one because when you look at it like that, you might think, oh, what's she on about? Well, when I arrived at St. Cuthman's for this particular retreat, I sat outside and I watched the gardener take off his gloves and throw them on a little table. And there they remained for the couple of days that I was there. And I could see them out of my bedroom window. The next slide, please. But what you couldn't see from the first slide is that the table was in front of a bench. And as I looked at them, sometimes from above from my bedroom, sometimes from down below, it looked to me like there ought to be somebody sitting on the bench. And those hands were just outstretched in front of the bench. And so I thought, are they my hands and God's on the bench? Or are they God's hands and I'm on the bench? And thinking those thoughts enabled me to have a conversation. Next one, please. Sometimes I take some pictures away with me because I'm not very good at art, I can't draw, but I appreciate being able to take things that are symbolic from other people's art. This is a picture by Sigurd Koda. He's a German priest who has a lovely gift of symbolic art. And if you look, that's the lady looking down into the well. But if you look at the water, there are two faces reflected. And the other face, of course, is Jesus. And sometimes I look at that and think, what's down my well? What's down your well today that you need Jesus to be in the water for? So when I come away from retreat, I always come away feeling that I've benefited from the space, I've relaxed, haven't necessarily always heard from God, but I usually feel as though I've sat with him. Some people have the ability to make that sacred place in their houses. You know, they set aside a chair and maybe they have an icon or a picture and a candle. I can't do that. I'm too distracted by what's around me. But do what works for you. There are other types of retreat, not just the way that I've described it. If you've got a particular yen for photography, you could go somewhere like Lee Abbey where they do retreats based around photography or drawing or art. There are retreats where people will help you. You'll have a spiritual director, perhaps every day, who will help you reflect on what you're thinking. Retreats where you can go where there is a daily office being said, sometimes twice a day, sometimes five or six times a day, and you can join in that rhythm of prayer. Find what suits you. Another form of retreat is pilgrimage, based on a walk, usually of a very ancient path. So I'm going to go back to Psalm 46 in that verse. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I hope that you will have been inspired to try and find a place of solitude. But I'm going to close with a prayer that's actually very familiar to me because it's part of the Burswood Healing Service. And you'll see why it's appropriate. So let's close with this. Let us, by an act of the will, place ourselves in the presence of our divine Lord. And with an act of faith, ask that he will empty us of self and of all desire. Except that his most blessed will may be done, and that it may enlighten our hearts and minds. We can then gather up ourselves and all those for whom our prayers have been asked, and hold all silently up to him, making no special request, neither asking or beseeching, but just resting in him. Desiring nothing but that our Lord may be glorified in all. In this most simple way of approach, he makes known his most blessed will for us. For so he gives himself to his beloved in quietness. Amen.